Good morning, church. Today, at least, I've got something that I cannot touch, so you can't see me shaking and trembling. When I heard him concluding the remarks, and my heart went into overdrive, and my daughter whispered to me and said, "Daddy, I can hear your heart beating." In my heart, I was like, "You don't understand." Amen. It's not easy to stand before the Lord and minister the word. Amen. It is a challenge, because when we stand before God, at one point or the other, we have to give account. So it's not something that we take lightly. I thank God today that this day is not but a surprise, but was ordained of God himself before the beginning of time. And I thank God that I've been obedient, and Mark has listened to the word of God. And we have this moment today. Shall we just pray? Father, you are faithful. You are gracious. You are merciful. There is no God besides you. You have no equal, Lord. You are the great I am. From everlasting to everlasting, you have established your throne. We thank you, Father, for the grace that you've given man to have access to you through prayer. And this morning, my Father, we choose to connect. We take our positions, my Father, and surrender our all to you, saying, "Lord, have your own special way." Spirit of the Lord, as we lift Jesus in this place, have your own special way. We surrender. We plead the blood of Jesus upon this place and cover everyone. We declare this place a holy ground. We declare this place sanctified. Father, I begin to capture every wandering mind and every spirit that is contrite. I pray that, Lord, may only the Spirit of the living God take full preeminence in this place. And may this word, my Father, be for eternity. May it bring about change that will last forever, even in the name of Jesus. We pray the cankerworm shall not eat, the ravens shall not steal, but Lord, this word shall stand till the test of time, even in the name of Jesus we pray. Hallelujah. And amen. I want to talk to us today about the word prayer. And if I pray by the grace of God that we understand what prayer is. And I pray that today will mark the turnaround for Crawley New Life as a church, a turnaround for us as the people in our individual lives, a turnaround for us as a people in the city, in our communities, when we position ourselves to pray. Amen. Shall we open our Bibles to Genesis? I thank God that my family is here. But above all, I'm so excited that my son is sitting and listening to me. My son, I want you to listen and understand that if you understand what I'm speaking about today, your life will never be the same. Today's generation, we are seeking things. But I want you to understand, my son, that we don't need things. What you need to seek is God. And you begin by prayer. Amen. I may not preach to everyone, but I thank God if I can preach to my son, I am pleased. It is well with my soul. I have a blessed son and I'm very proud of. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26. And the Bible said, God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, and over all creatures that move along the ground." Can someone read for me from the KJV version? There's one word I want us to underline there. Yes, please.
Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
Dominion. Let them have dominion over everything. Everything that God created. The intention of God for man was that man should have dominion over all. Amen. Man did not have to struggle. Man did not need to pray. No. God gave man authority over everything. The ability to name everything, to have dominion. Amen. There is no point in time when it's recorded that man was praying. The first time the Bible records that men began to seek God was in Genesis 4. After man has fallen in Genesis 3. Amen. The fall of man in Genesis 3 meant that man sold out his rights and authority and dominion over everything that was given to him to the devil. Amen. Man chose self-will. Chose not to align with God, but to have his own will. And God, being who he is, he respected the will of man. So, when you read the Bible records that God would walk down in the cool of the evening to fellowship with man. Himself came down and fellowshipped with man. But the moment man fell, that fellowship was disconnected because man chose to self-govern, to have his own will. If you're looking for the title of my message, Man ought to pray at all times. Amen. The Bible records Genesis chapter 4, verses 26. Brother Ian, can you just read that for me? Genesis chapter 4, verses 26. I hope I speak for 10 minutes and sit down. Hallelujah.
Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters.
Go down.
Oh, is that the wrong one? Sorry.
426.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's good. They had daughters afterwards and sons.
And as for Seth.
Yes.
And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord.
Then men what? The first time the Bible records about men beginning to call upon the name of the Lord. Prayer. Amen. Prayer. If anything has to happen here on earth, men ought to pray. We are Christians. And why we are called Christians? Because back in the days, when the people looked at the believers, they said they've been with Christ and they called them Christians. Meaning we are following after Christ. Amen. Let's look about this Christ that we are following. When his mandate was about to begin, let's see what he does in Luke chapter 3, verses 21. This is God himself we are talking about. Luke chapter 3, verses 21. Anyone who's going ahead of me? I'm going to trouble Brother Ian today. Today, Mark and... Where's Ryan? He knew. I think that's why he...
When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heavens was opened.
Can you read that again?
When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened.
Was Jesus the first person that John the Baptist baptized? People were being baptized and it was business as usual. Why did the heavens open? Did they open because Jesus was the Son of God?
No.
Did the heavens open because Jesus was the prophet? Did the heavens open because Jesus was anointed with thousands of prophets or whatever?
No.
Read that scripture again.
When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened.
While he did what? We need to understand, Jesus knew that he is starting his mandate here on earth. And for him to break through, for him to be able to achieve that which he has come on earth here for, he needs open heavens. And the only way to attain that was to pray. Being baptized, and he was praying, and in that moment of him praying, heaven opened. And the voice was heard from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Do you need open heavens in your own life? Do you need open heavens over this city, over this place, Furnace Green? Do you need open heavens in this nation? Men, we need to pray. I look for a moment when this place will be small. Is it that we are ineffective? That we have failed to reach to the cities, to the people around us? No. We need to adjust and reposition ourselves in prayer. The people in Crawley, the people in this nation will not be transformed by our programs. They will not be transformed by our planning. Thank God for planning. Thank God for programs. It is good. God designs order. But the only change and transformation that we want to see, be it in our lives, in our families, in our workplaces, in our cities, will only come if men position themselves on their knees in prayer day and night. Then we will see change coming to this land. Prayer. Prayer, men ought to, if the Son of God himself, if God himself can pray, who are you? I have come to understand a little bit of, I haven't fully understood, but a little bit of an idea about the British people. I mean, I'm still learning. We are so reserved. We are conservative. We are so conservative. The devil is not interested about our reservations. I want you to hear me today. If this is the last time Mark gives me time to preach, thank God. I want you to understand, this is very critical. There's no need for you to come here and stand and wait for time to pass so you can go home. This is an opportunity that we have to seek the face of God with everything in me. Why am I preserving myself? Why should I be caring about Mark, who's standing next to me? Mark will be judging me because I have opened my mouth and pray to the Lord. Church, we need to arise. We need to arise. Traditions, programs aside, men ought to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ah, God Almighty. It is interesting. I let me give you a bit of a testimony. I applied for my visa the first time to come to the UK. I was working in the government. I had a good salary. Not only that, I had enough money that I'd saved after a certain operation somewhere. I think close to about £10,000 in my account. And I sent an application. And the response, the biggest reason why they couldn't give me a visa was because you have a lot of money. And for me, that was my strength. They will not reject my visa. I know this time I've got it. And they didn't. And I was praying, you know, in the sides, Father, thank you. I know you. Thank you that you're going to grant me visa. Thank you. Thank you. You know the kind of prayer that we do. Like we're praying for food. Thank you, Father, for food. Thank you, Father, for this evening. You know? And I forgot when Jesus said, such a kind only go out by prayer and fasting. And when my visa was denied, I was a bit frustrated. And I said, you know what? Forget about the United Kingdom. I'll keep to my Zambia. But afterwards, I said, no. I think I need to change. The second time I was applying for my visa, I spent 7 days of prayer and fasting. The first 3 days and three nights and four days, I was in the mountain. I know it may sound far-fetched for people who are here. In Africa, it's enormous. I prayed for 3 days and three nights, and the rest of the 4 days I was at home. But I prayed. I didn't eat anything. I only drank water. And I was praying for open heavens. I was praying for my visa to be granted. And my wife says, you know what, my husband, this time we're going to do an express. We'll pay extra so that they quicken it. And I was like, oh, wow, yeah, let's do that. The visa, which was meant to take 3 weeks or whatever it is, took 5 days. If anything, 3 days when I got the news for me to receive it, took about 2 days later, which is about 5 days. Why? Prayer. We can give examples of the patriarchs, of the great men in this Bible who have done great things, who have transformed, but we have a testimony. We need to have a testimony as a people about what prayer can do. When I receive a phone call and say, actually, I want to give this car to you. And I think the car that we received by God's grace was, I think, third or fourth, if my memory serves me well, that we were given. Third. And God began to remind me at the time that I was young and had no direction. I didn't even know what my tomorrow will be. When I would pray, God, I thank you for cars that I've never worked for. I thank you for houses that I've never built. I thank you, Father. And when things begin to happen, you even forget that one time you prayed. They did not happen from nowhere. No. I didn't even know these people. But God knew that prayer that I prayed was seeded as a seed. And eventually in time, I began to reap. You want to see a better tomorrow? You want to see the gifts of the Spirit being manifested in this church? Pray today. Amen. Pray, church, today. Amen. It doesn't just happen. It does not happen unless men pray. Amen. I'm giving examples. I'm giving testimonies of myself because you know me. You know where I am coming from. You know me. I can talk about Smith Wigglesworth and the power that he walked in, but you will not relate. But I can talk about something that you know, and you know that, yes, for sure, it is possible. I can boast in the Lord. I'm going to France in the next few months. I didn't pay a single coin for it. God opened doors. There is more that God can do if men position themselves to pray. Hallelujah. Why do we need to pray? Why do we need to pray? Why is prayer so important? I began by showing you to say, from Genesis, man gave up his authority, dominion to the devil. And now, man had to begin to wrestle back. Something that he once had on a silver platter, give away. Now it is sweat and tear through prayer for you to get it. John 10:10. You can believe me without even turning to your Bible. I can read this one. The Bible says, the enemy comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's the mandate of the devil. That's the mandate of the devil, to kill, steal, and destroy. Brother Ian, can you read for us 1 Peter 5:8?
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Now, there are two kingdoms. Do you all agree? There's a kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Here, on this earth, who is in charge? I want to hear the church. Ah, come on, guys. Who is in charge here on earth? Church, Crawley New Life, who is in control of this world? Can someone read for me 2 Corinthians 4:4? Who the what? Of which world? The God of which world? Who is in charge of this world? Listen, people. Satan has taken hold of this place we are living in called Earth. That's why you and me need to pray. When they asked him, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he said, let your will be done on earth as it is where? When you are praying, you are appropriating the will of the Father, which is where? So that it can be done where? We are wrestling. We are at war. Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Let me just branch off a little bit. He died on the cross of Calvary so that you and me can be redeemed. He says, his mandate was, I have come to set the captives free. Who are the captives? You who are dwelling here on this place called earth. Whether you, whatever you have or who you are captives unless God begins to redeem you through Christ. When you are redeemed, then he went on the cross and died because he knew that even if you are redeemed, yet you still need the power. And he died to so that by his blood, you can be able to declare and rebuke the devil. He says, behold, I give you power. Amen. So that you can be able to conquer. Paul, who is a great man who has been into the third heavens, says we wrestle not against flesh nor blood, but against principalities. We do what? We wrestle for us to reclaim. Now, when we are redeemed, when we are born again and saved, we have an upper hand because there is the grace of God over our lives. And the grace of God makes it easier for us to war and conquer. The grace of God and the favor of God makes it better. So that when we pray by the grace of God, we overcome. God is not in charge of this place. He, the devil, is in control. We wrestle him. That's why we have We have to wrestle cities of the devil. We have to wrestle lives of the devil that he has held captives. Christ says, I have come to break the yokes of oppression. We are yoked by the enemy. That's why he came. That's why he came. And if you read your Bible, at the end of the Bible, in Revelation, the Bible speaks of the new heaven and the new earth. That comes down. Because this rubbish goes away. This is maybe a bit more. We need to be having food, people. Let's get off the milk. Someone may have lied to you. God is not in control of this world. The devil is. That's why he can point political authorities and listen. Oh, my goodness. Let's go into is it Matthews? I'm trying to remember the scripture. Brother Mark, help me. Should be in Luke when Jesus is tempted. Exactly. In the same Luke chapter 3, verses 5. Can someone start reading from chapter 5, from verse 5, chapter 3? I want you to listen very carefully. Luke chapter 3, verses 5.
Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain.
Luke 3.
Yeah.
Luke chapter 3, verses 5. So, Luke chapter 4. Oh, goodness. I'm looking at 3 and I can't see the 4 below me. Chapter 4, verses
then,
5.
Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time.
6.
And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. And I give it to whomever I wish.
People of God, this is not a novel. This is not a novel. Sheldon, whatever. I don't know the writers that you read. And I don't know. This is not a novel, people of God. This is the word of God. Hear what the devil is saying. And who is he talking to? We need to begin to understand the context and the world and the environment in which we are. Let not religion begin to cover us and procedures and conditions start to cover us. The whole idea that the enemy thrives on our ignorance. He thrives, even Jesus, even the Bible says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. He wants you to be blind so that you don't understand, so that you be just like a yo-yo. Listen to what the Bible says. The devil led him up to the high places and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. Not part, all the kingdoms. And listen to what he says. And he said to him, I give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me. I will give you all their authority and splendor, for they have been given to who? To who? Who is he telling? God himself. So you want this Crowley to be saved? You want this city to be saved? Pray. 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 Pray, 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 pray. There are principalities that are assigned to rule over this place. There are powers and authorities. In an instant, he took him to the mountain and said, you see, this is the world. Oh, this is mine. I give it. I give to men as I desire. I give. I can give it to anyone I want to. He's in control. That's why sometimes I used to aspire for political positions. I used to aspire for to become a general. But I thank God that even when I was a major, my eyes were open to say, it's all vanity. It's all vanity at the end of the day. And I didn't want to be walking in the shadows of men, chasing shadows and dreams. God gave me grace to see that life is in Jesus. Yes, I left. You can ask my wife. I had a person to hold the vehicle. I never talked about fuel. I had everything. But I left them. Because the things of this world, yes, we need them. But we need to be careful. They are vanity. They are vanity. The only rewards we'll get in heaven will be the rewards of what we do to our brethren and to the church here on earth. Hear me, my son. All you need is prayer. All you need is prayer in this earth. You don't need the favor of men. When you are in line with God, you begin to get the favor of God. And you find favor in the eyes of men. What you need is prayer. Crawl in your life. I can speak to you mysteries. I can speak to you things that are in the Bible about theology. But today, I want to tell you that if you want this church multiplied, if you want to begin to see the gifts of the Spirit in action, people being delivered of their bondages, the sick being healed in this place, people, you need to begin to pray. I thank God the men are slowly rising up every Friday. We do meet in prayer overnight. And God is giving the grace. At least you start from somewhere. You start from somewhere. We need to pray. We need to pray. There's nothing that will happen. And I want you to understand that I was talking about the British being conservative and always reserved. You know? I come from Africa. You know, everything is hard in Africa. If you don't pray, can I see my African brothers and sisters in here? Am I lying? Am I lying? Everything that you get, you wrestle. You pray like there is no tomorrow. Your voice becomes husk. One time I was talking to one of my friends, like, I can see you at the mountain. Because my voice was gone. You war. For you to get something. They are strongholds, but they're not just in Africa. They are here. They are here. There are people here who need salvation. There are people here who need to break from bondages of addictions, of alcohol, of lust, of whatever. There's so many people commit suicide day and night. The kids who are saying, I'm hearing voices, they put them on drugs. No! You need deliverance. And deliverance will not come until the church align, arise up in prayer, begin to grow in maturity, and know that this is not about drugs, but this needs prayer. Devil, get out! And freedom comes, and people walk in freedom. That won't happen until the church arises in prayer and in power. Hallelujah. I do apologize if you're going to be offended, but I'm going to speak it. Ephesians 6:12, very familiar, very, very, very common scripture. I'm about to wind up. Said I'll speak for 10 minutes. Brother Ian, help me. Thank you, Father.
Flesh and blood.
Yes. Yes. Flesh and blood.
But against principalities. against powers,
Karama
against
satai.
The rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places.
Hallelujah. We do not what?
Wrestle.
We do not play. We do not hang around. What is the Bible saying? I like when we come in the evening, Brother Mark will send a message and say, Royal Rumble 3. And then sometimes you will play, let's get ready to rumble. Amen. Wrestling. You watch wrestling, and most of us love wrestling. What was Paul trying to put across? My son, come. Sometimes we need to be a bit dramatic. Maybe sometimes it may make sense when you go home. Listen, people, this is not entertainment. If I wanted to be an entertainer, I could have been in London, sent to London stands and people are giving me money. This is life and death. This is life and death. I can speak about my testimonies because I know what prayer has done for me. And I know, and I pray God one day I'll come and stand here and say, gentlemen, I have a house paid for and I'm walking in. Speak and shall be. And I pray God one day. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Scripture. Grab my hand the way you were grabbing me yesterday. The way you grabbed me yesterday. Grab it nicely. Grab it. Grab it. Grab it. No, this is not how you held me. It was this one. Yeah, it was. It was this one. Okay, grab it. Grab it. Grab it nicely. He held my hand yesterday. Okay, here. You held it up somewhere here. He held my hand yesterday and said, Daddy, pull it out. Okay? He said, Daddy, pull it out. And we were wrestling because he held me with his almighty. The idea was I should not come out. Okay? It was a game. We were playing. But it's similar to the situation in which we are. Grab my hand, my boy. He grabs my hand and I want to go. And this is what Paul was trying to say. We wrestle not against. So this is not playing. This is not having fun. This is fighting. I know he's feeling shy right now because yesterday he was actually lifting. I was actually basically trying to lift this body against my arm. Go say it to my boy. I'm trying to demonstrate. I'm trying to demonstrate. Wrestling, it's not jokes. And I hear Jesus himself, not anyone else, Jesus speaking to the people. And can someone read for me Matthew 11:22? Hear the word of Jesus himself. And I'm coming back to this because I was talking about us British people being conservative, wanting to pray like we are so holy. Listen to what Jesus says. Listen to what Jesus says. Matthew 11:22. Is it the one I want? I've got so many scriptures. Now I'm confusing myself. I thought I'm going to trust my Bible. Okay, no, it's not the one I want. It's not the one I want. It should be in Matthew 11. It's not the one I want. The kingdom, my wife helped me. The kingdom of God suffereth violence. It's not the one I want. Anyone who has found it for me? Matthew 11. The kingdom of God. I tell you up to now, from the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God has suffered violence and the violent. 12, 12:22. 11:12. Thank you. 11:12. Can someone read that for me?
And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force.
Who is speaking these words? Who is speaking these words? From the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. There's a time when you need to be violent, even in your prayers. That's why I was talking about us being so conservative and sometimes we want to pray like we're praying for food. There's a time, if this be a battle, if this be a war, I wish you, you have watched war movies. You have watched Sobibor, where the Jews were in captivity. Did you see how the Jews were looking like when they were being rescued by the Russians and the British and the Allied forces? Did you see how they looked like? You have watched movies. Come on, tell someone, talk to me. Have you seen how they look like? They were skin on bone, and that's how some of us are in the spirit, without prayer. That's what it means to be in bondage. And he says he came to set the captives free, to break the yokes of oppression. We are on this earth, we are under oppression. The only way to break forth is through prayer. It's violence. It is violence. We wrestle. Wrestling is not cuddling. It is wrestling. Wrestle. Read the Bible. It's not a novel. This is for your life. Talking about what you ought to do as a believer. He says, Jesus himself, the Son of God, from the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers violence. And who takes it by force? The violent. Stop being cute and all nice and wanting to be reserved, like, because me, I am, holiness is like this. No. War in prayer. War for your children. War for your family. War for the city. War for the church. War. That war is on your knees in prayer. Scream. Cry out to the Lord. The Bible says, you watchmen who cry out to the Lord, give God no rest. Give him no rest. How do you give him no rest? By prayer, in war. You cry out to the Lord. You cry out. Your children are going astray. Do you know why? Cry out. Cry out. Your relationship, your family is messed up. You know what? Cry out to the Lord. Amen. Cry out. Crawl in your life. You want to see change. You want to see transformation. You want to see the community around you. It's not programs. It's not plans. It is prayer that shall bring transformation in this city. We will break these walls the moment we begin to pray. The moment we begin to pray, we will break these walls. Hear me today and hear the word of the Lord. Church, you need to arise. You need to arise as a church and begin to pray like never before. Shall we all stand? Brother Angie. Oh, Sister Angie. I'm talking too much. I'm mingling too much with brothers. Sister Angie, could you just help us? I want us to sing this song with understanding. Men, we ought to pray. It is only prayer that shall transform our families, transform our children, transform our cities, transform this church. The fruits of the Spirit will only begin to reign in this place once men and women rise up.